Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Welcome to the Go and Teach Bible Study broadcast presented by the Monte Vista Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Ken Leach, preacher at Monte Vista, and your host for the next 30 minutes or so. The great prophet Isaiah once said, "Come, let us reason together." That expresses well what I hope to achieve on these radio programs.
Well, here it is, the last Sunday of the month of June. The summer is upon us here in Phoenix, Arizona. The great thing about living here in the summer is it doesn't take you very long to get warmed up, no matter what you're planning on doing. I hope that you will plan on doing something with the Monte Vista Church of Christ next month. July the 9th, 10th, and 11th, the elders here at Monte Vista have invited Greg Bell, a gospel preacher from St. Charles, Missouri, to come and to present for us a series of lessons. These lessons will be great information. These lessons will be practical and useful as we attempt to live a Christian life. The focus of these lessons will be for the young people who are raising a family, that are facing so many issues and challenges in life, but the things that are taught in these lessons will be applicable to us regardless of our age. So we'll hope that you'll come and sit at the feet of Brother Bell with us during these times and learn what God's Word is for our happiness and for our productivity. Let me give you, if you would, the titles of the lessons that Brother Bell will bring. And I think that they're all pretty self-explanatory, and we can sort of let our minds go a little bit and try to figure out what these lessons will be about. The first lesson on Thursday night, the July the 9th, is whose money are we using? And I'm sure that that lesson has to do with the proper use of finances in the home. Second, on Saturday night, no mirrors on the plow. And I would think that that would have to do with us continuing without letting past mistakes hinder us from being productive for the Lord. On Sunday morning, the lesson will be redeem the time. Who is it among us that hasn't had problems getting all of the things that we need to do scheduled into that 24-hour thing called the day? On Sunday evening, the final lesson of this little mini revival meeting is, "I'm sorry, that's how I was raised." And I'm certainly looking forward to hearing what Brother Bell has to say about that. The lessons on Friday and Saturday will be at 7 p.m. The lessons on Sunday will conform to our normal schedule here at Monte Vista. That is at 9:30 in the morning on Sunday. We meet for Bible study. That's followed by worship service at about 10:15 or 10:20. And then at 6 o'clock in the evening, another worship service. Everyone who is interested in spiritual things are invited to come and to join us in these fine lessons that we anticipate. We talked last week about prophecy. We talked a lot about the kinds of prophecy that there are and some of the specific prophecies that have been given. We ended our lesson concerning the prophecies that are faith-building, prophecies that can be used to prove the inspiration of the Bible. Let me say that if you missed last week's lesson and you'd like a copy of that, all you need to do is go to our website, which is montevistacoc.com, and follow the directions on that website, and a free copy of that lesson will be mailed to you. That's montevistacoc.com. I'd like for you to take out your Bible now, if you have opportunity, and look with me at a passage in Ezekiel the 26th chapter, beginning in verse 3. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against you, O Tyre, and I will bring up many nations against you as the sea brings up its waves. They will destroy the walls of Tyre and break down her towers, and I will scrape her debris from her, and I will make her a bare rock. She will be a place for the spreading of nets in the midst of the sea, for I have spoken, declares the Lord God. And she will become spoil for the nations. Also her daughters who are on the mainland shall be slain by the sword, and they will know that I am the Lord. For thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will bring upon Tyre from the north Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, king of kings, with horses, chariots, cavalry, and a great army. He will slay your daughters on the mainland with a sword, and he will make siege walls against you, cast up a ramp against you, raise up a large shield against you. The bow of his battering rams he will direct against your walls, and with his axes he will break down your towers. Because of the multitude of his horses, the dust raised by them will cover you. Your walls will shake at the noise of the cavalry and the wagons and the chariots when he enters your gates as men enter a city that is breached. With the hoofs of his horses he will trample all of your streets. He will slay your people with a sword, and your strong pillars will come down to the ground. Also they will make a spoil of your riches and a prey of your merchandise, break down your walls and destroy your peasant and pleasant houses, and throw your stones and your timbers and your debris into the water. And I will silence the sound of your songs, and the sound of your harps will be heard no more. I will make you a bare rock, and you will be a place for the spreading of nets. You will be built no more, for the Lord has spoken, declares the Lord God. Thus says the Lord God to Tyre, Shall not the coastland shake at the sound of your fall when the wounded groan and the slaughter occurs in your midst? Then all the princes of the sea will go down from their thrones, remove their robes, strip off their embroidered garments. They will clothe themselves with trembling, and they will sit on the ground, tremble at every moment, and be appalled at you. They will take up a lamentation over you and say to you, How you have perished, O inhabited one! From the seas, O renowned city, which was mighty on the sea, she and her inhabitants, who imposed her terror on all her inhabitants. Now the coastlines will tremble on the day of your fall. Yes, the coastlands which are by the sea will be terrified at your passing. For thus saith the Lord God, When I make you a desolate cities like the cities are not inhabited, when I bring up the deep over you and the great waters cover you, then I will bring you down with those who go down to the pit, to the people of old, and I will make you dwell in the lower parts of the earth like the ancient waste places and those who go down to the pit, so that you will not be inhabited. But I will set glory in the land of the living. I will bring terrors on you, and you will be no more. Though you will be sought, you will never be found again, declares the Lord God. Wow, what a passage. When we examine that passage, we see, number one, that Nebuchadnezzar would destroy the mainland of Tyre, verse 8. We see that many nations would participate in her final destruction, verse 3. We see that she would be left as a bare rock, verse 4 and verse 14. Fishermen would spread their nets upon her site, verse 5. The debris of the ruined mainland city would be cast into the water, verse 12. She would be built no more, verse 14. Tyre would never be found again, verse 21. According to those who deal with statistics, if Ezekiel had made those seven predictions in human wisdom, there would have been one chance in 75 million that they came true. But it's a matter of history that every one was fulfilled just as spoken. Nebuchadnezzar did attack Tyre within 3 years of the writing of Ezekiel. After 13 years of attack, the Tyranians submitted. Most of their citizens fled to an island about a half mile from the coast. Nebuchadnezzar destroyed mainland Tyre, and the island city remained for several generations. But then came Alexander the Great, and he called upon the Tyranians to surrender to him in B.C. 333. Well, they refused, and he demolished the ruins of mainland Tyre to build a causeway some 200 feet wide out to the island. The Greeks then on that causeway went and laid it to the ground. The city tried to revive, but in 1291 the Muslims finished the job that was begun by Nebuchadnezzar. Today, the site of Tyre, once the commercial hub of the Mediterranean, is a fishing village where fishermen spread their nets. Is that faith building? Now I want you to consider Babylon. In the 8th century, late in fact in the 8th century B.C., Isaiah wrote what is recorded in chapter 13, verse 19 through 21, and chapter 14, verse 23. Hear these words. And Babylon, the beauty of kingdoms, the glory of the Chaldeans' pride, will be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. It will never be inhabited or lived in from generation to generation. Nor will the Arab pitch his tent there. Nor will the shepherds make their flocks lie down there. But the desert creatures will lie down there, and their houses will be full of owls. Ostriches also will live there, and shaggy goats will frolic there. Now look at Isaiah 14 and verse 23. I will also make it a possession for the hedgehog and swamps of water, and I will sweep it with the broom of destruction, declares the Lord of hosts. Note, if you would, the particulars of that prophecy that we just read from God's Word. First, the world's greatest city will become like Sodom and Gomorrah. Chapter 13, verse 19. Imagine, if you would, someone in our day and time prophesying that New York City would become like Sodom and Gomorrah. That's the kind of reaction I'm sure that the people there had when these prophecies were given. It was the world's greatest city. There was no doubt about that. The prophet Isaiah said, God's going to bring you so that you're like Sodom and Gomorrah, and we know that that was destroyed by fire, don't we? Second, it would never again be inhabited. Chapter 13, verse 20. The Arabs would not even pitch their tents there. Chapter 13, verse 20. Shepherds would not frequent the locale. Chapter 13, verse 20. Wild creatures of the desert would inhabit the ruins. Chapter 13, verse 21. And it would be covered with a swampy marsh. Chapter 14, verse 23. Well, what was Babylon like when Isaiah made that bold prediction? First of all, its walls stretched 14 miles in each direction, and it encompassed 196 square miles. It had double walls, and they were surrounded by a moat that was 30 feet wide. The outer walls were 311 feet high. That's the height of a 30-story building. And they were 87 feet thick. It had 100 gates, and they were made out of solid brass. The Euphrates River flowed under its walls. To human reasoning, it was invincible, this place called Babylon. What does history record as to the fall of Babylon? Well, in 538 B.C., the Persians diverted the Euphrates and marched in under the walls. The Babylonians were engaged in a drunken orgy, and they had left the gates unattended. the city fell in one night without a struggle. After a lengthy period of decline and decay, it was finally abandoned. That was in the Seleucid period of 300 to 100 BC. Strabo, the Roman traveler, visited the site during the reign of Augustus in 27 BC and wrote, quote, "The great city has become a desert." A desert is what it remains this day. How did Isaiah know that? Is that not faith building? There is no study of prophecy that would be complete without at least a brief look at the messianic prophecies of the Bible. Isaiah said to King Ahaz in 734 BC, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and call his name Emmanuel." That's in chapter 7 and verse 14 of Isaiah. Now I would like to read to you from Matthew, the first chapter, and verse 21. In fact, let's read Matthew chapter 1, verse 21 through 23. "She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which translated means "God be with us." Micah, the great prophet, wrote in chapter 5, beginning in verse 2, "But as for you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth for me to be the ruler in Israel. His going forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. Therefore he will give them up until the time when she who is in labor has borne a child. Then the remainder of his brethren will return to the sons of Israel, and he will arise and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will remain, because at that time he will be great to the ends of the earth. This one will be our peace. When the Assyrians invade our land, when he tramples our citadels, then we will raise against him 7 shepherds and 8 leaders of men." In that prophecy of Micah, we see the place of the nativity of Jesus. Verse 2, that was Bethlehem. He would be a ruler in Israel. He would be born of a woman. The Messiah would be a male. His reign would be universal, and he would be the King of Peace. The fulfillment of those things are common knowledge to every student of the Bible. Time restricts us from considering as many predictions as there are in the Bible concerning Christ. But just suffice to say, Christ's suffering, his death, and victory over the grave is predicted, is prophesied in Isaiah 52, verse 11, and going through Isaiah 53 and verse 12. How Christ felt while on the cross is prophesied in Psalms, the 22nd chapter. If you have your Bible, turn with me, if you would, to that great chapter in the book of Psalms. And I want to read to you what Jesus Christ felt when he hung on the cross. And I want to reason with you this morning that whether you're on your way to worship God, as many of you are who attend here at Monte Vista, or if you're just beginning to consider things of a spiritual nature, open your heart. Let the mind of Jesus dwell in your heart for just a moment. And consider, if you would, that there's only one reason that any of these events occurred that brought about these thoughts of Jesus, and that is, He is concerned for our soul. Jesus wants us to be saved. He wants us to be saved so badly that He hung on the cross, and here's what He thought. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Far from my deliverance are the words of my groaning. Oh, my God, I cry by day, but thou dost not answer, and by night, but I have no rest. Yet thou art holy, O thou who art enthroned upon the praises of Israel. In thee our fathers trusted, they trusted, and thou didst deliver them. To thee they cried out and were delivered. In thee they trusted and were not disappointed. But I am a worm and not a man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. All who see me sneer at me. They separate with a lip. They wag their head, saying, Commit yourself to the Lord. Let Him deliver him. Let Him rescue him, because He delights in him. Yet thou art He who didst bring me forth from the womb. Thou didst make me trust when upon my mother's breast. Upon thee I was cast from birth. Thou hast been my God from my mother's womb. Be not far from me, for trouble is near. There is none to help. Many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They open wide their mouth at me as a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It's melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaves to my jaws. And thou hast laid me in the dust of death. Dogs have surrounded me. A band of evildoers have encompassed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look, they stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. But thou, O Lord, be not far off. O thou, my help, hasten to my assistance. My only life from the power of the dog, save me from the lion's mouth and from the horns of the wild oxen. Looking into the mind of Jesus on a day that we are blessed to worship Him should fill our hearts with His sacrifice and fill our lives with His purpose. And we should come to understand even more clearly today than ever before that being a Christian is not a title, it's a lifestyle. Thank you for listening. I pray that you this week will have unusual opportunity to let a bright light shine for Jesus Christ.
Thank you for joining me today. If you enjoy Bible-centered study, why not come visit the Monte Vista Church of Christ? We're located on the west side of 40th Street between McDowell and Thomas Roads. 2202 North 40th Street is our address. We have Bible classes for all ages each Sunday morning at 9:30 and each Wednesday evening at 7. Everyone interested in God's revelation to man is welcome. We also assemble for worship following our Sunday morning Bible classes, and then again on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Until next time, this is Ken Leach, hoping you have unlimited opportunity to let your light shine for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.